este amanhã.
The band of one! Oh my God!
Hello everyone, welcome to the very first Football One Golden Moment podcast. My name is Spencer Galanka. I'm the new sports editor here at the Daily Californian, and I'm very excited to get this podcast started. This is the third time we've met and tried to record this podcast, so I'm excited to hopefully post this one.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah, we won't jinx it. But
what happened the first two times?
Sorry?
You want to say what happened the first two times?
Yeah, so the first time we didn't know how to set up the mics, so that's great. And we also didn't talk loud enough, and we were banging on the tables and moving and everything, which was great.
We had a good go the first time.
Yeah, we had a good run.
We did.
So hopefully this will go as good as that one. And then we also...
Second time was sorority girls.
Yeah, so we tried to get a classroom in Dwinnell Hall on the Berkeley campus, and we got swamped by... Oh yeah, twice swamped by a sorority cohort of sorts. Anyways, again, my name is Spencer Galanka. I'm the sports editor, one of the beat writers. I got three other beat writers with me, and they're going to introduce themselves now.
Hi, guys. My name is Emily. I was the assistant editor in the spring of last year. I am the self-proclaimed MVP of this beat writing squad and also the team mom for the Daily Cal Sports app.
Team mom.
Yes, that is me. I brought Gatorade for everybody. And
Gatorade and orange slices.
Yeah, because in my minivan.
Breakfast of Champions.
Yes, Breakfast of Champions, so.
My name is Shailen Singh. I was the spring 2019 sports editor. I was everyone's boss, especially Emily's, and John's, who's not here right now.
My name is Josh Ewan. I was the fall 2018 sports editor. Along with my man Justice right here, we joined the Daily Cal in the fall of 2016. So we're the veterans of we're the old souls of this group. Super stoked for football season. Grew up as a Cal baby, so I learned the hard way that the worst thing a Cal fan can have is hope. Okay. On that note, Spencer?
how about Justice, how about you introduce yourself? Yeah. Our producer. Our lovely producer.
Jay Dizzle.
That's a term that I've never had before. I could say that one golden moment, this is my baby, so to say. So I've started this up last fall for basketball, started with baseball too. Unfortunately, like four of like the five people I did it with are now graduated, which so.
Shout out Rory.
Rory, Joey,
Max,
Lucy. So still in the afterlife, post-grad life. they still linger on in the Daily California.
Yeah, you guys would hear Justice if you had listened to our baseball and basketball podcasts, but he's not going to talk, thankfully, for this podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, exactly. So that all works out. But what we're going to talk about is Cal football. To give you a little bit of a preview of what we're going to talk about, we're going to recap fall camp. It's a little late to do that since normal practice already started, but we're going to go through because we were reporting throughout, and we're going to talk about what we saw there. Then we're going to talk about our record predictions, season predictions, talking about where Cal could slip up or Cal could surprise a few folks. And then we're going to look ahead to UC Davis, talk about their offense, and talk about how they match up against the Bears. And then we're going to do plugs. So what do you guys say? Let's get it started. I forget how we started last time.
Do we all take a shot first?
Do we all take a shot?
Yeah.
I think, Josh, we started with you.
Yeah.
Because you're the brains of this organization, this franchise that we have.
Josh is our only returning football beast. So.
Yeah, so we're all newbies. Yeah. So to the guy who was there from the beginning of fall camp, you talked about the wide receivers last time, and I thought that was a good place to start.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of dialogue, obviously, about the offense. I mean, the defense is going to return eight starters, and they really all know the positions are all but certain, the roles that each guy has on the defense. So there's not a lot of dialogue or questions that we ask at fall camp regarding that. We just talk about, you know, how do you keep that swagger up and you know, have it duplicate the energy and efficiency of last season. offensively, it couldn't be any more different. I mean, we see during practice when the teams go head-to-head, or the sides go head-to-head, the defense is just dripping with confidence, dancing to the music, all that good stuff. And the offense, you know, they pump each other up, they high-five each other, but for the most part, you know, they're still figuring a lot of things out. And part of that could be due to the pressure of trying to live up to what the defense has accomplished in the past, you know, 12 months. On the note of the receivers, look, it's not easy for any second-year quarterback to... There's a lot of pressure facing any second-year quarterback, but Chase Garbers in particular, he shoulders a lot of the weight, you know, for this offense to step up, increase its efficiency from everywhere, from red zone efficiency to third down conversion percentage, both of which were last in the Pac-12 last season. And, you know, losing Patrick Laird obviously doesn't help that, but Chris Brown Jr. has looked like a solid backup to that. He'll fill in Laird's shoes pretty well.
Shout out to Laird, by the way.
Shout out to Laird. Better make the Miami Dolphins roster, absolutely.
Made their elevator.
He did. He's on the elevator.
He could just retire now. Yeah.
Well, the Bears brought in Trayvon Clark from El Camino College and Kakoa Crawford, who attended the University of Michigan previously. They've also seen the emergence of Ricky Walker III, and Nico Remigio took a step up this offseason in his training.
Ricky Walker, because I don't know where he came from.
So, Ricky Walker is a great story. He's a guy who has played a lot of positions growing up in high school, and then even when he first came to Cal, he was playing defense, he played quarterback in high school, and he got one start at receiver last year against USC. Kind of an under-the-radar guy, a fringe between a scout team and someone who could be in the rotation.
I think he only got one catch last
year. He had one catch last year for 9 yards.
Yeah. It's a pretty good stat.
But throughout the spring throughout the spring and the summer, he continually impressed against Cal's DBs. I mean, there was a couple of times when he dusted Cam Bynum in practice, and we were like,
yeah,
this guy's for real. So Ricky Walker, actually last weekend, was put on scholarship, which is awesome for him. He's a film major, a great guy in front of the camera, and we got to talk with him for a bit. He's going to make an impact on this roster. He was listed first on the wide receiver X spot, I believe, on the depth chart that was released last weekend.
Wilcox iterated to us, though, that he expects a ton of receivers to play.
Absolutely.
So probably go seven or eight deep,
absolutely. But the fact that Ricky Walker was at the top of that list is a testament to how far he's come from that fringe scout rotation player to potentially starting this Saturday. So it won't be a given that this offense just impresses right away and leaves the struggles of last year, you know, as a thing of the past. But there are some encouraging things that we saw in fall camp, and who knows what we could see. I mean, last year we saw 3 quarterbacks in the game, but for better or worse, it'll be an exciting start.
The thing I'm really worried about, and I'm jumping ahead here, but obviously, because we're an independent newspaper, that Cal doesn't learn anything from this game, in that all of the wide receiver positions, like let's say they win 23-20 or something random like that. I don't even know if you could score 23 points in a football game.
Absolutely. I don't know if Cal can. 12 and 15 points in wins last year.
That's true. So worst case scenario, Cal doesn't learn anything from this game in terms of more roles being defined, and then they go up to Washington and get absolutely destroyed. I just think it doesn't bode well for them to go up to Washington week 2 because of all the uncertainties on.
I don't think there's any way that the receiver's depth chart will be like stabilized for like 5 or 6
even
weeks.
If Cal wins 45-9.
And I mean, not just talking about wide receivers, but just on a broader scale, on some of the defensive positions and everything. It just seems like UC Davis is not a good opponent to get, you know, assessed on.
Well, I'd be careful with UC Davis. Number 5 in FCS. You guys might remember in the previous years when Cal welcomed the likes of Portland State and Weber State to Memorial Stadium, and both those programs, which were, I believe, top 25 FCS teams, they gave the Bears everything that they can handle. Now, this is a very different Cal team with one of the best defenses, probably the best defense it's ever had, at least since, you know, the turn of the century. But Davis is the number 5 FCS team heading into this one. They're not to be taken lightly, and Coach Hawkins and Coach Wilcox know each other well, so... I wouldn't be surprised if Davis hangs around early. The thing that really does catch me leaning towards Cal is that Davis's defense is not as strong as it was last year. They lost one of their linebackers, I believe, and then they also don't have the services of receiver Keelan Doss. But we'll talk more about the Davis game a little bit later. Shaylen, Emily, any thoughts about fall camp?
Yeah, sorry guys, I jumped ahead there with a terrible, terrible antidote. Go ahead, guys.
The only thing, I think going back to what you said, Josh, about just how different the energies were between the two groups, between the defense and the offense. And I even noticed that I came pretty late into camp and started watching, and it was immediately very obvious to me that the offense still looked like they were kind of working on getting things to click. But my hope for the team is that going against the likes of, you know, Cal defense is going to just benefit them so much in the season. I mean, they've already pretty much gone up against, you know, the hardest competition there is, so I think that they'll at least be prepared for anything that they might face in the Pac-12.
I was also going to mention that the full off season against one of the top defenses in the country is pretty useful.
It is
pretty valuable,
and it's not just throughout camp, a lot of the established defensive starters didn't play that much. Guys like Cam Bynum, Ashton Davis, but I think something we haven't talked about yet is the depth behind them on defense. Like, Gerald Alexander has put together a secondary that has probably three or four backups who could start on other
Pac-12
teams.
Yeah.
So, and then offensively, the only thing we haven't really touched on is I think over camp, Chris Brown really solidified his job as the starter. I don't know if he can become a three-down back. I personally think he will end up being a three-down back for us with the other two guys. Primarily Dancy being a change of pace guy, but a lot of that will take a few games of actual real time.
So I believe in Chris Brown, but my hot take is that Marcel Dancy is going to have as many scores or more than Chris Brown.
Oh, may happen. I mean, Baldwin likes messing
Dancy
around
with Dancy with his two quarter with
swing
his
routes,
two touchdowns in the spring game.
One quarterback this year.
My bad, y'all.
As far as what I saw from fall camp, I saw a much more tight-knit unit as a whole than I thought I would see. In terms of, like, I guess I didn't really expect the coaching staff and everybody to be moving so fluidly throughout practice. It just seemed like everybody was on the same page. There was a lot of unsureties, I'm just making up English words, going into fall camp, and like I thought Baldwin was on top of it, I thought Wilcox was on top of it as a coaching staff, and I thought the players were more than willing to adapt to anything that they threw at them. So I thought it was fantastic on that front. Anything else, guys, on fall camp?
Unsureties? You sure about that one?
Unsureties.
Uncertainties?
Yeah,
perhaps?
I mean, I'm the sports editor, so I can create words, right?
You can.
I can create words. Okay, guys, let's go on to overall season predictions in terms of what matchups we're looking at that we're circling on our calendar other than going to Stanford.
Who's got the hot takes?
I've got many.
Okay.
I've got lots of hot takes. The first being that our season record will be 12-0. Undoubtedly.
She's lying.
Okay. Maybe a little bit.
Wow.
I think, actually...
11-1.
Can we get some air horns?
Yeah. Burr, burr, burr. I think, actually, that we're going to go 7-5, which is not out of the realm of possibilities, I don't think.
I think so, too.
But I do think... I mean, I think we're going to get a win in Washington, Spencer. Personally, I don't think Jacob Eason is going to be fully settled into the new program.
Fire!
Thank you. The defense lost a lot of their talent last year. I mean, a lot of seniors graduated. Six of their top seven tacklers graduated. Nine total starters. And it's kind of now or never for Cal, I think. If they're going to beat Washington, they're going to do it this season. And it's going to be in the second week.
We did it last season, too.
Yeah, so I guess that's true. So
those names in particular, Byron Murphy... Greg Gaines, Ben Burkervin, obviously. Washington week two is actually a huge benefit for Cal. That's what everybody's saying.
And I'm going to be there, so we're definitely going to win.
You're going to bring the good mojo?
Speak it into existence.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actually don't have Cal beating Washington, but I'm all for this. I'm all for all this.
Right. I got more hot takes where that came from. The second one, I think this isn't that hot. I think we're going to be Arizona State. These guys are kind of looking like the opposite of Cal this season. Like, they've got a really good offense that could really just round out the team well, and they've got a defense a little bit lackluster. I think it's going to be a really interesting game because ASU's O-line is really good. Cole Cabral is one of the nation's top center prospects. Eno Benjamin is just, he's a slippery guy. He's, you know, lead attacks, he can catch. So I think he's going to be dangerous, but I don't know. I think that the defense isn't going to be great at defending runs. I mean, we still don't know if that's going to be Cal's offensive bread and butter, but I think they've got a chance there, like a really good fighting chance. So that's a dub for me, for the Bears. I think, let's see, maybe I don't have as many hot takes as it. No, wait, no. Yeah, no. I think UCLA is going to be a win. They pretty much don't have a pass rush, and I think that Cal should have plenty of chances to just... Is that just...
Yes. Keep going.
Yeah,
keep going.
Never mind. I think that should give Cal just good windows for their offense to score. So 7-5, we're definitely going to lose at Oregon and Utah. So other than that, I think they're going to have a good season. Big games, some marquee games, but... All right, let's see if anyone else can have hotter takes than that. I give you the floor.
Yeah, I'll go next because I'll be frank with y'all. Cal's going to drop one of UC Davis, North Texas, or Oregon State.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, that's a shoo-in. And they're going to win two of Oregon, Utah, and Washington.
Okay.
How do you guys feel about that?
I agree somewhat with that.
Because
you can't have
both with Cal.
Okay, I think we're going to win three out of Washington, Oregon, Utah, Washington State, and Stanford. And then, well, my record prediction, I should say, is 8-4. I'm the optimist out of our group. I think we're going to win three of those and lose one out of the rest of our slate. I don't think it'll be an upset against Davis, Texas, or Oregon State, but I'm optimistic. Even though we have some tough road games, I think we have the best defense in the Pac-12
easily.
So yeah,
sweet.
Well, I went on a podcast last week with the likes of Mr. Trace Travers, Andy Johnson, and Rob Huang of Cal Rivals and California Golden Blogs. Trace had 8-4. Andy had 9-3. And Rob didn't give us a formal prediction record-wise, but he had hot takes for days. Like, you guys should go listen to that. I don't mean to plug that podcast too much, because you guys should listen to this one, but...
Yeah, we're gonna edit that out.
The guys that I was with, they looked at me like I was crazy when I said we would go 6-6. I picked Cal to finish in fourth place in the Pac-12 North last season. They finished fifth. I picked them to finish in fifth this year, they could finish in fourth. It's really a byproduct, not so much of if the offense can progress and make strides forward, and if the defense, you know, keeps up its efficiency or regresses in any way. But when I look at the schedule, I see one of the toughest road schedules of not just any Pac-12 program, but of any FBS program in the nation. I mentioned before that Washington week two is better than, you know, Washington week eight. But Jacob Eason and Chris Peterson, I mean, Eason wasn't in uniform last year for this game, but it's I have a hard time putting Cal over the hump against UW for a second straight year, especially on the road in Washington. I mean, Cal, as kind of back up a little bit, prior to last season when we had some success against USC and even Wazoo when we lost that game, Cal had not had success on the road, especially in conference play, ever since Wilcox got here and especially during the Sonny Dykes era. The fact that Oregon, Utah, Stanford, UCLA, I'm missing one more. Anyways, Ole Miss, I mean, this road schedule is one of the toughest I've seen of this decade. And I have a hard time seeing a path to 8 or 9 wins by a product of as a byproduct of that more than anything.
The only thing I want to say is that we had a couple tough road wins last season, obviously USC and BYU, and Washington State, we were right in the game, and a lot of what held us back was our offense, which I don't know how much better it'll be, but it'll be tough to be as bad as last year. So, and I think, I don't know about statistically, but I think Cal's defense is better at almost all positions. I mean, Kunashik's hard to replace at middle linebacker, but I think Dang will fill in nicely. But yeah, I think the defense is what's going to keep Cal in any game. I don't think there's any game on the schedule that Cal can't win besides Oregon, I think is probably the toughest on the schedule. I don't see us winning that game.
And I think going off of that, I do agree with you on the defensive part. One of the things that I always like to touch on is that Evan Weaver, Dang, Coin Dang, in the secondary, they command all the headlines. They get all this attention. But I still think that Cameron Good, Tevin Paul, and Luke Bickett are the three most underrated players in the Pac-12. I mean, that group as a whole, when healthy together, the numbers are off the charts. I mean, Good's ability to pass rush and drop back into coverage and disrupt passing lanes, he's the most dynamic player on the entire roster when he's healthy. Tevin Paul and Luke Bickett don't get enough respect and attention that they deserve. And with Bickett moving to nose guard this season, he's going to draw more double teams, allowing Dang and Weaver to create more pressure, quarterback hurries, because quarterbacks are already going to be wary of that secondary. But if you can add added pressure, the sky's the limit, and I think that's where you'll see the ability to maybe give a scare to Stanford or to take down USC for a second year. I just have a hard time seeing that path to eight or nine wins because of the Oregon, Utah, and UCLA games.
Yeah. It would suck. Injuries would be horrible because we do not it happens every year.
That's why I don't think making game-by-game predictions before the season makes any sense.
It does.
Because every team gets injuries.
Nobody's going to get injured. Everybody's going to be healthy.
Again,
am
we're
I
manifesting
on wood for
things.
This one?
All right, people. Let's look towards UC Davis. And their menacing quarterback, Mr. Jake Meyer, who broke a lot of records, who's breaking a lot of records, school records, FCS records, was one of the most, I think, had the most passing yards in the Big Sky, and as well as the second highest scoring player in the Big Sky. So he's, but then again, it's FCS defenses, and I don't think Mr. Meyer, Mayor.
Mayor, by the
Mayor,
way.
That's annoying. Mayor. you know, has faced a defense like Cal's. So, and he's the centerpiece, so I feel like we should talk with him. And also, UC Davis is a pretty good running game. So,
yeah. I mean, Davis played Stanford last year, and they put up 10 points, and Cal has a better defense than Stanford.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the only way this game is going to be close is if the offense can't get anything going, which that's very well a possibility. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think Cal's offense will score.
I agree.
Eventually. It might not be first quarter, Garber's throwing 2 touchdowns, but, I mean, an FCS defense is not really comparable, especially Davis's. They allow him 30 a game.
Yeah. But playing devil's advocate, like, Cal's defense, if they were bad at one thing last year, it was stopping the run. And, like, Davis has a pretty good duo Gilliam, and who's the other guy?
Alonzo Gilliam.
Terran. Is that his first name? Terran Thomas.
Terran
Thomas. Is that his name?
Both, like, I think combined for, like,
close to 2,000 yards.
Like,
25 touchdowns.
Insane numbers. I know for a fact Gilliam was the highest scoring running back in the Big Sky. So, how do you assess that? And the defensive front running game for Davis.
Well, going back to Jake Meyer a little bit,
okay.
Almost 4,000 yards through the air last season shouldn't be an issue for the Cal defense. But at the same time, UC Davis isn't intimidated by anybody. I want to emphasize that Alonzo Gilliam is going to be the feature back, and he's no Travis Dye, CJ Verdell, Joshua Kelly. Those are the three primary backs, and Max Borgie too at Washington State that gave Cal trouble.
He can catch the ball though.
He can catch the ball. That's exactly right. I mean, they're going to find ways to get guys out in space. And if Cal's able to tackle, I mean, Cal plays an aggressive style already. If they're able to tackle, this game will be 31-9. Bears.
Also, Davis was the first FCS team to beat an FBS team of last season.
Shout out
so
to San Jose State.
There's nothing to say they can't do it again.
Yeah, so they're capable, but I don't know. It's just, and I'm worried about this for the North Texas game as well, is like scheduling an FCS team, especially with Cal, is just like very risky in my eyes. Just because of it's Cal.
One thing we briefly touched on was Ricky Walker. The young man changed from number 38 to number 21. He claims because of Keenan Allen, who, as many Cal fans remember, in 2010 made his freshman debut against UC Davis and had one of the best freshman debuts in the history of the program. So wow. Who knows? Ricky Walker III, player to watch come Saturday.
That's a deep cut right there.
Manifested.
Dang. All right. Anything else on Davis, Emily?
I think, as a whole, I mean, the Cal defense is just bigger than all of their defensive players. I mean, we've got, like, especially in the wideout position, Kakoa, Makai Polk, who's a incoming freshman. They've all got length, and I think it's going to make those one-on-ones tough for Davis. So I think that if we can just play smart, I am the starting quarterback, guys. That's what I came on this podcast to tell you all. If Cal can just be smart and stay composed and just come out to do what they came to do, I don't think they're going to have too much of a problem, but
I agree.
I think they should be wary still. I think they should definitely see this as a challenge and be realistic about what they need to do. So
it would definitely be a tragedy if they lost.
It would be.
Like all hopes for the season would go down the drain.
Right, like away. Every single one.
I disagree. I think Davis is a solid test right away, and Cal's going to eke out a win, convincingly so.
I don't know how you go into Washington with any confidence.
Yeah, if you lose to
losing to UC Davis.
Hey, you got Cal's volatile, right? At their best, they can stick with any team in the Pac-12, and at their worst, they can lose to anybody. I've seen it.
He has.
I just don't think it'll be game one.
No, I agree. I think Cal's going to take care of business on Saturday.
I hope so. I hope Coin Dang has 78 sacks.
In one game.
In one game.
That's doable.
It's possible. All right, guys. I mean, that's pretty much all we got for today. Yeah, we're gonna plug ourselves.
Pick up our game day issue.
Yeah, so guys, we have a game day issue that is gonna be passed out. If you're going to the game, we're also gonna have a PDF on the website.
No, we'll have our online content at dailycal.org/section/sports.
There you go. We also have Facebook, Twitter pages. Just search Daily Cal Sports and we're there.
We're doing a recap podcast after the game / a Washington preview.
Yeah, so we'll do like a 15-minute recap, like instant reaction right after UC Davis, and then we will talk about the biggin in Washington. And I'll also be there on location causing havoc. All right. We're all set.
Run onto the field when we win.
Run on the field. Mm-hmm. A little streak sesh.
Week two. All right.
Week two.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. If you got this far, hopefully we'll see you next week.
Shout out to Justice, by the way.
Justice the GOAT. Hopefully he's here again to make us sound. All right, guys. See you next week. Thank you.